Do y'all know what a character actor is? I think about commercials, right? There are some commercials that have been going on for years, like Flo with Progressive. Could anyone else be Flo? I don't know. Or what about my favorite Captain Obvious, right? He's the obvious choice to be Captain Obvious. Or the Trivago guy. He doesn't even have a name, does he? But who else could be that part? And the few times they make a commercial with someone else, it's just weird. Character actors are the kind of actors and actresses that always seem to play the same sort of part, and that's all you can see them as. My favorite, Clint Eastwood, right? Tough guy, spaghetti western. Doesn't always have to be a western, but it's always kind of a violent sort of movie, right? Man of few words. What's his classic line? Go ahead, punk, make my day, right? Could you see Katharine Hepburn delivering that line? Well, that's just downright weird. It just isn't going to work. Or what about Peter Lorre? Everybody's favorite creepy little villain, right? He's never going to play a love story, that's for sure. Or Bela Lugosi as the classic Dracula. Any Dracula movie that's ever been made after Bela Lugosi back in the 30s is nothing but garbage, because only Bela can play that role. What about you? Are you a character actor in your own life? Are you the kind of person that rarely deviates from the script of your life and the way you play it? Sometimes that typecasting in our lives fits our personality. Sometimes people force a role on us. Like it or not, we tend to play that same role over and over again in our lives. Now, what actor or actress would you choose to play your life in a movie? Think about that for a minute. If they were going to make a biography about you, and you got to pick the actor or actress to play you, who would it be? Here in Luke's gospel today, Martha and Mary make their stage debut. Two sisters who have the privilege of entertaining Jesus for the evening. And each plays what I suspect is their usual role. Martha spends her time in the kitchen cooking and making sure their honored guest, Jesus, is well taken care of, making sure dinner is perfect, that Jesus has everything he needs and could possibly want. And I have a hunch that she had already put in a long, exhausting day making sure the house was perfect and spotless long before Jesus ever got there. Now, Mary, what does she do on the other hand? Nothing, right? She sits around all evening at Jesus' feet, absorbing everything he has to say. Now, it would be my guess that Mary was not known for getting her hands dirty, if she could help it, don't you think? Finally, Martha's had enough, and she asks Jesus to tell her sister to get up and to help her. That sounds like exactly the kind of thing I would have said. Typical Martha behavior, I bet. A typical Martha complaint about her lazy sister. I bet those are roles that they've played with each other their whole lives. Any of you have brothers or sisters? Even as adults, do you not still play the same roles with your brothers and sisters when you were 2 and 20 and 80? It never changes, right? You get older, but the roles are still the same. What Martha gets in response from Jesus is typical Jesus behavior as well. Martha, Martha. Kind of reminds me from the Brady Bunch. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by so many things. There's need for only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is telling Martha to chill out. He's not going to tell her to get up and get off her you-know-what and get to work. Now think about your own life for a minute. Suppose for a moment that you were making that movie about your life. Who would play you? If the only two you had to choose were Martha and Mary, who would play you? Who would be better at playing your life story? Or to put it another way, are you a Martha and a Mary? And I've preached this passage before and asked you this same question. Are you a Martha or are you a Mary? Which one resonates in your life? How do you see your walk with Christ? How do you live out your faith? Is it through your hands or through your heart? Now, I'll be the first to admit, I do not like this passage. And I think Jesus should have told Mary to get up off her you-know-what and go help her sister. Don't you? I think Martha got a raw deal and Mary got a free ride. Do you agree? Now, of course I can say that because I'm a classic Martha. I get Martha. I understand Martha. I know her motivations. I get how she uses her hands to show her love. I use the language of doing the same thing to show what's in my heart. Have you ever noticed that I'm far more comfortable in the kitchen and doing than being out front with people? It's just a part that I'm more comfortable in playing and a role that fits who I am better than just sitting around and chatting. Now, I imagine that Martha was pretty shocked and a little hurt by Jesus' response. Don't the rest of you Marthas, all right, who's a Martha? Don't you all feel that Jesus did you a disservice? I bet you do, even if you don't want to admit it. In some ways, I resent Jesus' words. Martha, 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 you're worried and distracted by so many things. There's need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. What if Jesus is telling us that we need to do the things that are correct and appropriate for our lives? That we need to find the ways that God is calling us to live out our faith? What if the sentiment is not that Martha chose the wrong and Mary chose the right? The word used to describe Martha here by Luke is literally deacon. Now, in verse 40, it literally reads, but Martha was distracted by her deaconing, is the Greek word. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the deaconing by myself? Tell her to help me. It seems to me that Martha is the quintessential deacon and that she's both comfortable in the role and good at it. Now, for those of you who have served in the role of deacon here at this church, who is that? Or another church? You probably quickly determined whether or not that was a role that you were comfortable with, right? It doesn't take very long to figure that out. You most likely discovered pretty quickly that if literally serving people at a funeral, assisting people who are homebound or visiting shut-ins and those in the hospital, if those were things that resonated in your life and your demeanor, or if it made you feel like a fish out of water. And I imagine that those of you who choose to help with youth or to teach Sunday school or work on mission projects also found out the same thing. When all was said and done, you discovered new ways to serve God that was appropriate for you. Or else you found out gifts that were not present in you, even if you wish they had been. Where Martha went wrong was in resenting the way Mary had chosen to live out her faith and her calling, even when she was being true to her calling and using the gifts that the Spirit had given her. Mary's doing what she has been called to do. She's playing the role her life requires for her, of listening and learning. And maybe that's what this story is about. Not so much what is the better or the worser of how we live out our faith and love for Jesus, but that we live out that faith and that love in ways that are appropriate for us and be content with that and not resent how someone else chooses to live out their faith in their life. We are each typecast. We have a certain role to play in the church that only we can play. We each have a way to serve God and to be faithful to the gifts that the Spirit has given us. And no one else can play that part for us. And we can't play someone else's part. We're given different gifts, and we're all called to live them out faithfully and appropriately. All roles are important. If we all just sat around listening and studying, what would happen? Nothing would ever get done. If we all served others, then there'd be no new insights. No new programs would ever get developed. We'd be too busy taking care of each other. Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us." Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. The question isn't what's the better part or the better way to serve Christ or to live out our faith. The real question is whether or not we're living out the better part for our life. For Martha, her better part was to serve and live out her faith in very concrete ways of service as a deacon. For Mary, it was to be at the feet of her Lord, hanging on his every word. The difference was that Mary was content and confident in her choice, and Martha didn't feel the same way. Sometimes it's easy to know what our better part is, isn't it? Sometimes it's easy for us to see and know how to use our gifts in church. Sometimes that knowledge comes from other people who can recognize our gifts when we can't, and who urge us to live out our faith in a certain way. Listen to those words coming to you from other people when they say things like, "I think you would really be good at," or "you should try," or "have you ever considered serving Christ by," or something like that. Sometimes that knowledge comes to us through the nominating committee. We're not quite ready for nominations. I'm just planting a seed. Or from a certain committee of the church who calls you to serve with them in ministry. So what is your better part? Do you know what it is? How can you figure it out? How can you live out your better part to give God the glory here, now, in this time and place? How can you do that? Amen.